Hello listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows, we roast them and serve them as it is hot.
Hi everyone, are we started?
Yes, we started recording.
Baba is singing our king song.
Yeah, the intro, it's by, what's the name of this group? Imagine Dragons.
Yes, I thought so when I heard their voice. I was like, these guys sound familiar. You have not watched Skyfall at all?
Skyfall?
No, sorry, not Skyfall, no
even
time to die.
Even I didn't even watch Skyfall.
Too. You're not just born somebody.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just like I was too into Pierce Brosnan.
So when Daniel Craig came,
I was one of the people who like I felt like maybe I read and talking about reviews.
Yeah.
It's not good to if anything you want to do, just do it. Don't
see. I'm actually the other way. If I see a book that has plenty bad reviews, not about the writing but about the idea behind, I'll actually watch it.
Yeah, I remember I was reading a book by Richard Rowe, The Universal Christ.
I went to read.
Mumumi. I went to read reviews at Omo. They just evangelicals came for
like conversations with God. I went to see reviews on Goodreads and they were talking about how and I was like, this is more reason why I'm going to read it because I know people fight information that is not mainstream.
Yeah, so I so maybe the reviews about they felt like I mean it would be too. Like it didn't have the James Bond swag.
Look, I was one of the people that rebelled when Daniel Craig. I was like, look at this guy, skinny. He doesn't have that, you know, that he's not oozing that, you know.
Yeah.
Naughty bad boy.
I mean, I grew up with Pierce Brosnan
and Sean Connery.
Yeah.
You know, those really people. Yeah. But and I started watching it like that, sha. But this last one, I felt it. No, why I even fell in love with Daniel Craig was Heineken advert. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it to you. Okay, so Heineken advert that didn't agree on me.
Okay.
But no time today is actually really nice.
I'll check it out.
Well, yeah.
So what about other shows this year?
Oh yeah, we can talk about our shows this year. Ooh, Midnight Mass. We can start with Midnight Mass.
Okay. Yeah. So.
I think the important part of Midnight Mass for me was the dialogue.
Dialogue. Okay, yeah, the talks.
It was always about the dialogue.
Did you Google the, is it Serenity Prayer?
No.
I love the prayer so much. Like
you heard it on the Midnight Mass.
It's in Midnight Mass, so Google it. Let's read it for, like, God, help me know what I can't.
Sometimes all these old prayers are really nice, like that, the Franciscan blessing.
What?
The Franciscan is pinned on my Twitter. The Serenity Prayer.
Yeah, it's a Serenity Prayer.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. It'd be Sobriety Prayer. I think it's Sobriety Prayer.
But the Serenity Prayer is written by Reynold Nebho. It's the one to grant me the courage. Okay, I know this prayer. Yeah. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I need this.
Yeah.
The next paragraph, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Before, I would have had a problem with this, but it's well to have a problem with this because I already practice it. Taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Okay. But in Midnight Mass, there's the first part.
Yes, the first part.
So when
it's always a quote.
Father Paul and what's the guy's name again? When they sit in church, you know, so he helped himself going across the river to for his AA meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So the Reverend Father decided to Father Monsignor.
I think he just showed me how religion works and sometimes how religion can be a cult and how the Bible can easily be used to defend a new nonsense.
Okay.
That's what. And how. I think it was after watching Midnight Mass, I told myself my children are not going to Christian school, whatever that means.
Okay, yeah, so for those who have not, can you just give like a brief overview? Because like I told a lot of people to watch it, but they're like, it's mild or horror, we're not going to go there.
It's not horror as you guys think. You know? It's more like it's just an interesting dialogue. Eh? Yeah. Everybody I told watching, they're like, yes!
Yeah, it was really deep on many levels.
Yes.
Yeah, so the story is a story of a community in Crockett Island, where like everybody knew everybody.
Yeah, all those kind of small.
Small, then started with a boy who was part of a car accident. He was drunk and he killed, or he nearly died.
Drunk driving stuff.
So he was in jail for some time. Then he was maybe released on parole. So he went back to his father and mother at Crockett Island. So and then a new reverend father arrived the island where
just some weeks after their old reverend father had gone.
So the story is how they all lived within the island. There was a lady who was I think a lesbian, the doctor.
Is the doctor a lesbian?
Yeah, so but they didn't put it in your face.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I think so the doctor, so but then they did not.
Then there's a irritating, annoying church auntie that all of us know in our circles.
Yeah, then before we get to her, she's like the what's that name? Bev. Yeah, but before Bev there was a lady who was crippled by a drunk.
Another drunk. We have a lot of drunks there. Yeah. Place is boring now.
So there's a drunk dude who many years ago, he went hunting and
by doing this, are you not giving them spoilers?
Yeah, so spoiler alert. Okay, so but he shot someone and he accidentally made this girl crippled. I really love how, you know, she went to forgive him. Like, I feel like that
this
piece was
speech,
really powerful.
Yes, that was a powerful dialogue.
Yeah.
So it was written by, I have forgotten this guy's name, but I was very, very happy. I had to go and look for the writer because I'm in awe of writers. And turns out this movie was a birth child of his own deconstruction. So,
Yeah, so like she had imagined it. So one day the Reverend Father, so miracles started happening in the church.
Yeah.
In a particular mass,
by Mike Flanagan. I'll never forget
your name
again, Mike Flanagan.
So when the Reverend Father came, he was administering communion, and then so then miracles started happening.
Let me interrupt you. So today I and Dubama were also watching Lord of the Rings. And Dubama was talking about how the ring represents things and power and things that corrupt us. And we're watching Arcane also. And there's this guy obsessed with magic. And it close somehow ties down to a midnight mass where sometimes we actually start with some things with good intentions.
Yeah.
But we always put more emphasis on the thing that's outward.
Yeah.
I think at some point just had too much faith in the blood and all of that ritual and fighting for God.
I think the root cause, the root cause of sin and the fall, lies in believing that there is something outside of you.
Yes.
That is required to make you whole.
Yes.
So, but once you don't realize that Christ is already in you. You know, you fall prey to every religious idea that seems to know how to get to God, not really knowing that God is already within. You know, so you go to places where they tell you that if you do X, Y, Z, you'll be rich. Or you get wealth, or you get power, not realizing you already are rich.
And psychologically, it's put you in a loop because you believe you don't have, so you act like you don't have, so you never have, so you keep on running in that loop.
Yeah. So back to midnight mass.
My favorite scene, of course, we all know, everybody knows, is when this girl was dying and she was talking about life after death and all of that stuff. Oh God.
Yeah, the end. Well, I like the part where she was being eaten by the angel. Yeah, there's a beast.
Wait. This is what calls it using death to defeat death. Which movie were you watching that you said that in?
Defeating death by death.
We're watching something and you said that stuff. Oh, okay, yeah, we're watching one Chinese movie, Defeating Death by using
a Chinese fairy tale on KIXS, one
KNX
crazy
station
on STV. Right, so, so she basically let the angel, in quotes, was...
The vampire wings.
Was eating her up.
Was sucking her blood.
Yeah, then she... basically tore his wings so that he would not be able to fly.
When the song came out,
and I really loved the Muslim guy's quote when he quoted the scripture. It was like he remembers one part of scripture that God causes his sun to shine on the good and the bad, and he went ahead to burn the last house so that when the sun rises, it will shine on the good and the bad.
So all of us, it's not scriptural to think that it's only you that they will favor.
Because of in all our
religious zest,
our interpretation of scripture and the book of Revelation, she was just on a roll, like, you know.
That's why I said it's very easy to use the Bible and to have such a strong conviction.
She was
when you tell people something, they say, like, I have a conviction, like, it doesn't matter to me if you have a conviction if it's not ruled by love. Like, it doesn't matter if you saw a visit of an angel if it's not ruled by love. And we always make this mistake, we always think things are excusable because it's in the Bible. Because God said it's in the Bible. And
you know, I think
my other favorite part was when they were like, they are going to start teaching Bible in school or something.
Oh yeah,
like
that's
that.
A debate.
I liked it because I saw how we do this a lot for Christians, but we don't realize what others do to us. We put our religion in other people's faces a lot, softly, cautiously, but taking away for God. But we don't when other people do, we just cancel culture. True started with us. We don't take it, we don't want it. If they write books that are against our faith, our children should read it at the time, but we want to read and let the whole world. So it's very hypocritical and unfair for you to keep invading people's, like, what we call money. Someone was asking the other day, why is the money cry? Why is it not more rejoicing? I'm like, because you're making people up from the other day I was in a bus and someone was preaching the bus with a microphone. You know how close they, but you're using a microphone on top, and we just think about you. But you're being a new, you're being a nuisance, actually. That's not the, you get. So we do a lot of all these things.
Not that you're even preaching good news.
You know, yes. That condemnation. We invade spaces with all these things that we won't also tolerate. Do you get? But,
yeah, so I think, like, one of the major, like, so for me, the, like, one key, insight from Midnight Mass, and this is what even led me to watch it in the first place. So I had seen a tweet by Diana Butler-Baz, a preacher and a theologian on Twitter. So she,
why did you tell me? They're like following me.
So she wrote an article about the Midnight Mass.
Yeah.
And how she said something about choices we make at the end of the world. Whether what kind of people are we going to be, right? Are we going to be because of, like, so when they had been transformed by the blood of the angel, right? Would they there are some people who saw that this is wrong,
yes, even with the cravings, they're like, I can't eat somebody else. There's some people who are just consumed by their own desires,
So, like, and so for instance, so let's say you're part of a church group. Right, so when you entered, you loved all the ideas and what they stood for.
That's
what
you're doing, yeah.
But
yeah,
after some point, you now discover that yes, they are the dead is rising, the lame is walking, but at what cost? It's at the cost of we might need to
kill some people,
murder some people, abuse some people,
casualties of war.
Yeah, casualties. So what is one or two abuses when,
for the greater good,
when thousands of people what is one or two abuses when thousands of people are being saved and led into the kingdom
for the greater good.
To us, we can leave the 99. For us, the one may perish.
For the 99.
Yeah. So that's what stuck with me. That so we can be part of a movement that is abusing maybe one or two people, but it's not so bad. After all, the dead is rising, the lame is walking, and thousands of people are entering into the kingdom.
Or we doubt even the fact that, or we think because good things are happening, that one bad thing, like. There can be abuse, there can be healings. We just say that it's not possible. There's healings going on here. This abuse person is lying.
It's lying, exactly. Not
possible. Yeah, we don't see that good and evil can coexist in the system.
So, like, so in Midnight Mass, so the spoilers again. So, Reverend Father Pritz, when he took the blood of the angel, he got his youth back. He was he renewed his youth like the eagles, like
literally.
So he was young again, and he went back to the city, and all the things he did not get right in his he tried to put things right.
Good guy,
he was very good. His sermons, his talk, his care. I mean,
there was one sermon that was like, okay,
no, towards the end. end when he was coming when drunk, he was like when the blood of the vampire are taking over him more, and you know, and then with the influence of Bev. So there are some people who, when you are in sin, they encourage you more. Like, so like a preacher might have abused somebody,
and he actually genuinely wants to repent.
He wants to repent, but they tell like, nah,
your image,
your reputation. So I beg, that one is little. Is this small abuse? The abuse again. People who
so
have.
So you got
help. Don't worry. I will help. Souls. So Bev was that person who, like, when he, she knew that, man, this guy, there's something that happened. So she now interpreted it. She was like, oh, it's written in scripture.
And she can quote scripture.
She said that, like, God has sent his angel to do this, to do
God
that.
God damn it.
And, you know, anybody that does not drink his flesh and drink his blood has no part with him.
I think one of my favorite characters was the doctor's mother. Even if she had something to gain, she saw her own youth was going back. She was better. But when she walked in, she was like, nah, man.
Yeah, I don't want you to go back to that church.
I don't want you to go back to that
church.
And I respected that. Yes, I respected that because she had... She had everything to gain, by continuing to pretending, but she wasn't that person.
Yeah.
So in that kind of way, I really, really respected her. I also respected the sheriff when he allowed his son to go to the church. That curiosity. Oh, yeah, let's go and see. I respected it. And I felt like that's why the boy couldn't, even in the end, him too saw that,
So he went, it wasn't all that. And then when others were driven by the rage or the thirst to feed, to eat other people up.
Yeah, he
was not going to do that. He was just, and even that boy's parents too, they also like, oh, this is what we have become. And they like said, no, rather than us killing other people for our survival, we'll die.
I was telling my friend that sometimes when I sit back and look at all the things I believed when I was really religious or in the church, I somehow feel ashamed for myself. Like, in our churches, we have this, like, people that had this, oh no, this is not, I can't become this person, realization, awakening, and they move out. And they didn't do it peacefully. They just peacefully carry that things and they come out. And we were in there judging them so harshly, calling them all sort of names, calling them that they want to scatter the church, all those kind of things. Sometimes when I think of it, I just feel really ashamed. I don't think I've regretted anything in my life but than the things that I've done in the name of religion. So I just feel really ashamed that God help us, we're getting better.
So yeah, Midnight Mass was really good. The light prevailed at the end. And then there are themes of sacrificial love. So what was the guy's name, the main actor, the one who...
Not under the sun and born himself. Which one?
No. The one who first was given the blood of that river priest, that the vampire ate and brought him back to life.
Is that one that allowed himself? I don't know, but it's the guy that killed that guy. I can't remember everybody's name.
So the guy who killed he went to. He was doing AA meetings with the reverend. Reverend. So then he asked the reverend about the drunk guy. And the reverend said that the drunk guy traveled, whether he went to meet his sister.
He was having suspicion.
Then he knew that the guy lied.
He having suspicion because everything was not happening.
So after everything, he now went back to, like, because he knew that he lied, he now went to ask him. But when he went there, he was at the wrong place.
At the wrong time.
Or maybe the right place at the right time. So he went in and the angel was present with the dude. And no more, like, the angel just, like, pounced on him and was feeding.
Which is a good plot twist because all of us thought that the guy had gone.
Yeah, like, so... after then the next after the episode he saw, like, so the river that opened up to him that this is how I became young again. It was the blood of this vampire angel, you know.
That's another person too that has something to win or to gain and talk over, like, nah. And he knew if you just told people who are not experiencing that, they won't believe shit. So he had to go tell that guy in the boat.
Yeah, so like he went back, he told his friend, took her to the Erin. Took her to the boat and explained to you. He said, if I tell you this, you will not believe.
And Trutu shot, like, come off it. Until the sun came out. I was like, I like that scene too.
Right, so the sun came and he basically gave his life so that she would see. And he wanted her to just, like, sail away from Crockett Island, not to go back. But she was like, no. You know, so this is where... I feel like this is like the element of the Christ, where there's clear instance, a possibility of your death, and you walk right into it, not being afraid.
For the love of other people.
For the love of other people.
Yeah.
So she could save herself, but she said, no, I will go.
Even when she wanted to go, she and the doctor and the other thing, they have sent the ships.
Yeah.
And that's the thing again that made me angry. That wanting to impose your religion on other people.
Yeah.
Bring everybody to church, come and take communion. Is it by force? Do you get? There was this, I don't like that. It's back to that, wanting to impose ourselves on everybody and having this thought that if you don't do what we believe, it's not going to end up well with you. It's actually a very horrible thing to think, actually, if you think of it.
And a wicked thing to think.
Yeah.
Right, so midnight mass.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that I think that is not a conversation that I embrace, Lord, but that movie made me, the fear of talking about death has gone.
Yeah.
And that is also weird for me when people say that after you die, you cease to exist, because these same people believe that matter cannot be destroyed or created, and energy cannot be destroyed. So why do you think when you die, you just cease to exist like that?
Let no one fear death.
Yeah.
For the Savior's death has set us free.
Yeah, I think that made me not to fear death anymore, because it made me ask a lot of questions and a lot of things. I was like,
Time for a recommendation. And there's a sermon on YouTube by Brad Jerzek, The Death of Death. And I love listening to it. There's this piano in the background. So he reads from Saint John Chrysostom. John Chrysostom is called John Silver Mount. See, he had an anointing in his preaching. That's how he, so he has a homily, a preaching. And so there's this Pascal homily by John Chrysostom. It's like, let no one fear death, because the Savior's death has set us free.
Why didn't you write it out? Come and read it.
He was...
I should have Googled it.
Yeah, let me... Yes, such a...
Say it again.
John Chrysostom.
I can't spell that. I won't even lie. John Chris what?
Chrysostom. Let me... Pascal.
How come your own is not Pascal? My own is John.
Homily.
So why didn't you tell me Pascal homily?
Homily. Saint John.
I'm not saying.
So there is how
Homilia Pascal.
There's how Brad Jerzek reads the last.
It's different.
Okay, I've seen it. Let no one weep for his iniquity. Let no one fear death, for the Savior's death has set us free. He that was held prisoner of it has annihilated it. By descending into hell, he made hell captive. He embittered it when it tasted of his flesh. And Isaiah, foretelling this, did cry, hell, said he, was embittered when it encountered thee in the lower regions. It was embittered, for it was abolished. It was embittered, for it was mocked. It was embittered, for it was slain. It was embittered, for it was overthrown. It was embittered, for it was fettered in chains. He took a body and met God face to face. He took earth and encountered heaven. He took that which was seen and fell upon the unseen. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen and you are overthrown. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life reigns. Christ is risen and not one dead remains in the grave. For Christ, being risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and dominion unto ages of ages. Amen. Yeah, so amen. So don't fear that. And it was in that sermon he said something about John the Baptist died and he went to hell, right? So he was with his head on his hands. And the demons, when they saw him, they were like, John the Baptist is here. Then they're like, this is bad news. Like, why is it bad news? He has come to prepare the way for the Messiah. He has been preaching that someone else is coming. And indeed, Jesus came. And so, he defeated hell by the
end. Even if you say John the Baptist's head, I just imagine...
The headless horseman.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... So watch Midnight Mass and every other good TV show.
And tell us what you think about it.
Yeah, alright, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at dubams, at dubams. See you next time. Bye now.